Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hey.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how to hack your time management. What the heck is he going to talk about with this? Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Matt asked, risks, oh, this is the topic of it, it's of this thread, which is, or the question, risks associated with letting people build on owner finance properties. Okay, so now here's the question. I have a number of folks that have purchased properties from me that are coming back and asking me if they can make improvements on the properties before they pay off their loan to me.
Congratulations, by the way, Matt. You're doing everything right. If they want to build on a property that you sold them, you're doing something right. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. I have it in all my contracts that they cannot make improvements on it until the loan is fully paid back and they have the deed for the property in hand. Some people are coming back and just wanting to clear the property of underbrush. Some want to add a slab for their RV, and others want to clear the property and build a home on it so they can move there. What risk am I incurring if I allow folks I have on terms to do these things?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
I can't say this, and I'm going to say it four more times probably before we're done answering this question. Congratulations. If the types of property and the deals that you're doing where they want to build on it and they're visiting the property and they love it and they're thanking you and they're calling you, you are doing every single thing right. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is they go out and see it and they hate it and they want their money back. All right. So that's a problem. You don't have a problem here. You have a fantastic situation for several reasons. What risks are you incurring? None, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean none. The only thing that could go wrong here is that they dump on the land, right? They put some, I don't know, a refrigerator with Freon in it or some messy environmental scenario, but and that's the only bad thing. So now we got the bad stuff out of the way. How do you win here? Let's say they don't pay the loan off. Mm-hmm. Now you own all the improvements that then whatever they did to it, now you own it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I'd love to have a slab on it that somebody did to dry their RV up on it. So I think that's the coolest thing on the planet.
The more time they spend there, the more stuff that they do and they like it or whatever happens, the higher possibility that they're going to pay the loan off. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would even venture to say this, and I've done this in the past with great success. Mr. Smith, if you really want to build a house, you want to clear the brush and RV, and you're going to use the property like you really intended, what do you say we cut a deal?
I was going to say,
how about
thing. Yeah.
I give you a 25% off if you just pay it off.
Yep. If you can afford to do that, then you can afford to do this.
Or let's say, what do you say we just recut the deal and make 10 equal payments of $1,000 in 10 months, and then I'll deed it to you. Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Exactly.
If you have an owner that calls you back, and there's as much as I don't do it anymore. I've learned this from Jill. When they're calling you back and they're saying, thank you, I love it. Do you have more? Can I build on it? You're going to sell them something else or something that's all positive.
Exactly.
When they're calling back and they're saying this is awful and you misrepresented it, which you never want to do.
Right.
That's a sign you missed something.
Exactly.
So, in fact, the root of all lending, we did a show, The Root of All Evil is Lending. Like, I don't know, it aired 2 weeks ago or a week ago, or maybe it didn't. I don't know, maybe it airs today. I really don't know. In the beginning, when lending became, when it sunk its roots in, the whole idea was to lend somebody money to do something so they would intentionally fail and you would inherit how they improved it. The roots of it go back to, if you look on the internet, lending to people, to governments in South America, so that they could mine their own property for resources, whether it be timber or stuff below the ground or whatever. And then with intent to foreclose on it because they could never pay it. Mm-hmm. It's evil. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. Mm-hmm. Lending listen to the show. It's actually worth it. So Matt,
unlike the other 493.
Yeah, the other 497 podcasts that we have, they're actually really, really good shows.
Yeah, I know. But this one's worth it.
I just thought I'd point out the one that's really bad.
That's great.
And evil.
That's great. Oh my gosh.
So I'm not saying doing anything with malicious intent. I'm just saying if for whatever reason they decide to stop paying and they've improved your property, worse things could happen to you. If you have a question or you want to be on the show.
Like the plague? Where are you going? You know, one thing I love about you, Jack, is you, some of these statements are so open-ended. It could be anything. You know, worse things can happen. And you just walk away. Like,
you know what?
Where are you going? Wait.
You know why? Because you know where that comes from? Being a seasoned parent.
Oh.
The kids ask you stuff like, man, worst things could happen, and just walk away.
You're like, what? What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah. Did he mean yes or no?
I don't exactly. That's exactly. He didn't answer the question. I don't know what to do. Am I going to get in trouble now? I really don't know.
He didn't answer it.
I actually walk around going, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble now.
No, you don't. Listen, if anybody. Listen, Mom. If anybody.
Oh, no.
Every once in a while.
Whoops.
All the husbands out there are nodding right now. Every once in a while, I become the fourth kid. So the kids do something bad. That's when they're all great. Together, do collectively, not so much anymore because some somehow I get lopped into that.
Yeah.
I get in trouble with them.
Well, because often your idea. Well, let's just start there. Dad said that writing down the stairs on this air mattress
this is a true story.
Into the wall. Is a good idea. Actually, Dad gave us the air mattress and he turned the music up even louder. That is a true story.
It happened recently.
And nobody got broken bones.
We got in a lot of trouble for that.
Oh, that was funny. It was loud. No, but fortunately, no broken bones, nothing, no holes in the walls. We did okay. Oh, that was so funny. So, and you wonder why.
That was a blast.
I can't believe it. Listen,
gets me
Mom.
Thinking. Try it with a skateboard.
Jack.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, how to hack your time.
Management.
I know, but it's really just time. If the title was how to hack your time, no one would, either it's like time management, I can get it.
Okay.
Recently, I'm watching a show on Netflix or Amazon, I can't remember which one, called Mr. Robot. And it's about a bunch of kids who pull off the hack of the century. And they need the Chinese hackers to help them. And the leader of the Chinese hackers, there's a sentence, and I stopped the whole, watching it and really had to think about it. And then obviously decided to do a show about it. The line was, you guys choose to hack computers. I choose to hack my own time. And what he really meant after I really thought about it was, he takes his time very seriously and micromanages time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing that this last week. I'm only going to spend this amount of time on this. Only going to spend this amount of time on this. And guess what?
That's good.
Guess what happened?
You're way efficient and happier.
Exactly, Jill.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of stuff that I have gotten done this week, I can't think of a more productive week. Think about what we've done this week.
This is awesome.
So hack your own time.
Yeah.
Put time limits on everything you do.
I'm
not saying don't be the Rain Man and be a weirdo and walk around with an egg timer, although I have done that.
I don't have to do it now,
but because we have these phones with these timers on them. But take your time seriously. I mean it. Even if you're going to have a meeting with somebody who's below you, this is how I used it. Make sure the meeting's 4 minutes and that's it. And tell the person, I have 4 minutes to talk to you about this. Not with disrespect,
right.
Just this topic to me and how important this is and what the goal that I'm really trying to achieve, which is to make $1 billion and not have to work anymore, but don't say that. Just say it to yourself. This conversation in the scheme of things is worth 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's hacking your time.
By the way, this is sounding like a Jill topic. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
That's really, really good. This is really good advice.
Mom.
You're very welcome. I'm so proud of you, Jack.
Stephen Jack Butella? That's what my mom used to say.
Oh, gosh. I'm very proud of you. No, it's a mindset, and that's the stuff that I like. Because you're coming at it like, all right, how important is this topic to me? Let's prioritize here. I'm going to spend 4 minutes on it, not 40, kind of thing. And there's things that you're going to spend 40 minutes on.
Sure.
So that's good.
What was the show yesterday about using the phone service, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe 2 days ago. I don't remember.
Exactly.
You know, how much time does that save you?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can, we can buy the champagne with the girl's shoes. All kidding aside, really.
Yeah.
You know, talking to a person who wants to sell a piece of property and putting the deal together, that's way high up on the list, uh-huh. right? Taking your wife to dinner, way high up on the list, and making sure she's happy.
That was good.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, what? Getting the car washed, really low on the list. Don't spend any time on it.
Right.
Hack your own time.
Yeah.
Hack other people's time. There's some people, we have a really good crew right now working for us, and there's a couple of people that are not the best managers of their own time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you teach them, if you don't tell them what to do and order them around, but you teach them your priorities of stuff, they're going to start to manage their time better.
Mm-hmm.
You're hacking their time.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a
yeah,
big
you
fan
do have
of the
to help
hack.
People sometimes. I don't like that word
Seth
either.
Williams loves it. He hacks everything.
But you do have to, you have to, it's a process. You learn it, and you have to teach somebody else too, really, how to prioritize and let them know it's okay to stop. You know, I you know, this, well, here's something that I have done in the past with people as I'm helping them. I say, all right, I need you to spend 1 hour on this. Give me an executive summary, whatever you come up with in 1 hour, the best three sources for X, whatever the project is. And that's it. And they forces them to cut it off. And you go crazy for an hour because you could spend all day on it, and you really don't
need
to spend all day on it, because the results all day are probably going to be the same results that you just spent an hour on. Don't overanalyze yourself. So that by doing things like that, not only setting those limits on yourself, but helping people who work for you, or, you know, your associates, that's great advice.
Exactly.
It's going to save a lot of time and energy and stress and free you up for the fun stuff, like drinking champagne out of women's shoes in a store.
Drinking, how did it become that?
I don't know.
Drinking champagne out of women's shoes instead of while you're wearing women's shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wondering what we're talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
It's another episode.
Oh, no. If you just tuned in to us, this is your first episode, you're going to think these people are crazy.
If you just tuned into this podcast for the first time, that's your problem.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. This is crazy. All right.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show. Oh, sorry. I already said that. Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information. That's me.
Oh, boy. And how to use inspiration and help Jack along. That's me.
And you might just get about anything you want.
Yeah. We use it every day to keep each other on task and buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That was funny.
Thank you for the compliment.
You're welcome.
I went out on a limb with the show title and the concept.
Yeah.
We really have. I mean, really think about this whole last week. It's been efficient as heck.
Yeah. I like it. This is really good. It's one of those, it shouldn't be a light bulb over your head moments. It should be, yeah, he's right. I'm not doing that.
Yep.
It's a reminder. We all know. It's like you say, Jack, we all know we should get up and exercise in the morning.
Right.
That's a fact. Do we do it? No.
Some of us do. Some of us don't.
Exactly.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.